It's been a little over a year since Auschwitz survivor and Nobel Peace Prize winner Elie Wiesel died. He was celebrated around the globe as an activist and a writer, and for his lifelong efforts to keep the world from forgetting the horrors of the Holocaust. But for his only child, Elisha, coming to terms with who his father was and what he represented was a difficult road, he says. We reached Elisha Wiesel at Goldman Sachs in New York, where he's the chief information officer.
I think earlier in my life, I was probably underappreciative of just how amazing a father I had and what he meant to the world. You have to understand, I went to a Jewish day school as a teenager, and my entire life, I felt, was being defined in terms of being his son. So there were definitely some difficulties. There were also some amazing experiences that I was able to receive, traveling the world, being chased by KGB agents in the Russian subway system because we were trying to bring Jewish materials to refuseniks who weren't allowed to practice their religion freely. So definitely some amazing experiences alongside that.
How old were you when you were chased by KGB agents?
Well, I was told we were being chased by KGB agents. I have to be honest, I never saw them. I remember we were running around that subway system a lot, and we were switching trains, and everybody looked very nervous. But this was probably around age 8 or 9, so this must have been in the late 70s, early 80s.
So you're an only child, correct?
Yeah, I have a half-sister from my mom's side. She was previously married.
What kind of additional pressure, though, was that on essentially an only child to be, you know, in the shadow of Elie Wiesel?
Look, you know, my father, he felt a tremendous obligation to keep Jewish learning alive and to keep Jewish identity alive across generations. And he has been very clear with me, certainly when I was younger, that he saw me as a continuation of that. I had been to a Jewish school for 14 years, and by the time I got out, I was interested in almost everything else other than to, you know, keep studying my roots. And, you know, I remember some very tense arguments, me saying, please don't burden me with the thinking of thousands of years ago. I want the freedom to go where I want to go in life. And this is what it means to be alive and to have choices. And occasionally, you know, he would say, look, you know, you should remember you have your own tradition here, one that many people, you know, died in order to perpetuate, one that your grandparents observed. You know, you should consider remembering that you have this as well, because I don't want to be the last in the chain. I want you to continue having a Jewish identity.
And today, do you feel like you've returned to that identity, those roots? And what does that feel like? And when did that kind of return start, if you will?
Look, it's interesting. I think there are probably two major focal points for me. One would be the birth of my first child, my son, who is now 11. And then the second would be the passing of my father. Those were two major life milestones for me. And I think I've realized that one doesn't have to stop living in modernity or embracing the incredible avenues of thought and expression that are available to us today with the internet at our fingertips, with so many cultures at our, that are available for us to study and interact with. And that doesn't have to be in conflict with being very rooted in where one comes from.
Today, what do you want people to know about what you're doing and that carries on from what your father was doing?
Look, I think people should know that I'm a loving son who remembers my father, you know, with great affection, and I'm seeing him and hearing him in ways that strangely maybe I didn't even when he was alive. And I still feel he's very much with me. And I hope that for those who are also missing him or thinking of him and wishing that his voice was still with us, I think it's up to all of us to take a moral stance on issues that require our attention and not shy away from them. And whether you're a middle school student deciding whether or not to help the kid that's getting picked on because he's weaker or less popular, whether you're a diplomat deciding how to handle a situation where the decisions you make will have ramifications for real flesh and blood human beings on a large scale, And then when I think about continuing his legacy, I very much think of it on a personal level, though. I think about how am I raising my kids and what messages am I sending them? Because he was a real family man, and he believed very much in this transmission of personal legacy as well. So I'd say I'm 90% consumed with how I think of his personal legacy as a father, and much less about how I'm thinking about continuing my father's legacy on a global scale.
Elisha Wiesel, son of Elie Wiesel, and he's the chief information officer at Goldman Sachs.